If you would please turn to Deuteronomy to springboard off of what Todd just taught us, especially as he mentioned that Jesus Christ is the greatest example of all time. And so what I want to consider a little bit with you is, how did he learn that he was to be an example? Certainly from his, you know, reading the word, from looking at what's recorded in the word, these men and women that God has recorded on the pages of the Bible. You know, to become a good example, to be an example, is to set a pattern, to show something to people, how to do something. It takes decisions. It takes choices that we make. It takes attitude. Often when I think of attitude, I think about a plane in flight, an airplane in flight, because they, to determine where they are in the sky when they can't see around them, maybe it's dark, maybe they're in clouds, they have to look at their instruments, determine their pitch and their yaw and their roll, those three axes. And that determines their position in the sky relative to the things that are around them. The direction they're going, they don't want to be too close to the land or too high up. They want to be heading in the right way, right direction. Well, we also need to consider our attitude towards the word. Here in Deuteronomy, this book of Deuteronomy is written in the last month of Moses' life. Jesus Christ would have certainly studied and understood this book as well as anyone can understand it. And here we see this verse that would have certainly drawn his attention in Deuteronomy 18 and in verse 15. Deuteronomy 18, 15, it says, "The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me. Unto him shall ye hearken." What humility it must have taken for Moses to write that. This prophet that's going to, this Messiah that's going to come, is going to be like me. Certainly Christ would have wanted to consider this man Moses. Look at Hebrews chapter 11, please. Here's a summary. I love this summary here towards the end of the New Testament. Hebrews 11. And we're going to go down to verse 24. And I'd like to read this section from the Passion Translation. I love how it's put here. So Hebrews 11, 24, it says, "Faith enabled Moses to choose God's will. For although he was raised as the son of Pharaoh's daughter, he refused to make that his identity." I love that. "Choosing instead to suffer mistreatment with the people of God. Moses preferred faith's certainty above the monetary or the momentary enjoyment of sin's pleasures. He found his true wealth in suffering abuse for being anointed, more than in anything the world could offer him. For his eyes looked with wonder, not on the immediate, but on the ultimate, faith's great reward." What a great summation of Moses' life. He found his identity not as part of the royal household, a prince in the country of Egypt, but rather he saw himself as one of God's chosen people, Israel. Look back at the Old Testament at Numbers. See, if we want to become the men and women that we know we can be, we want to have that same kind of attitude, that we can see ourselves not the way the world sees us, but we can see ourselves the way that God sees us. And in Numbers chapter 12 and in verse 3, we see that Moses is called here the meekest man on the face of the earth. Wow, isn't that amazing? The meekest man on the face of the earth. And that's available to us. We can also see ourselves that same way. You're familiar with this verse, Numbers 12:3. It says, "Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which are upon the face of the earth. That's taking into account everyone that was alive at that day and time. And he had this meekness. He had this willingness to go God's way. In Exodus chapter 3, if you look at Exodus 3, we can't go through all that's written here about Moses. There's so much. But just a couple of highlights is Moses has his attention drawn by God. It says in verse 1 of Exodus 3, "Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said," this is the choice he made, "I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt." He's a shepherd. He's 80 years old. He could have easily said, "I'm going to lead my sheep or my cattle," whatever he was leading at the time, "away from this fire, or go get some water to put the fire out," whatever. But he chose to approach. And here, that was a great decision that he made. And then over the next number of verses, we see that God is calling him to deliver his people. It says in verse 9, "Now therefore," this is the angel of God speaking to him, "Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." So God's called him. And in the number of verses that follow, Moses' humility comes up. Who am I? How can I do this? He hadn't been there for 40 years, and he had to leave for his life when he left 40 years ago. But ultimately, Moses determines to go, to obey. Look at chapter 4 and verse 18. "And Moses went and returned to Jethro, his father-in-law, and said unto him, Let me, I pray thee, let me, I pray thee, and return unto my brethren which are in Egypt, and see whether they be yet alive. And Jethro said to Moses, Go in peace." So it doesn't matter sometimes if we're daunted by the direction that God is leading us in. Ananias had the same kind of questions. Do you know who this man is you want me to go see? Ultimately, what's the key ingredient is to obey. You know, Moses obeyed here. He determined, okay, I'm going to go. You said I can go, God. I'm going to do this. And we see this example many times. You know, Jesus Christ taught his followers to don't hide your light under a bushel, but let your light so shine that they may see your good works and glorify God. That's what we need to do. And so Moses decides to go. And we know the outcome. He brings them to the promised land. Look at Deuteronomy. Again, Deuteronomy 32. Again, these are his last words, last month of his life. And in Deuteronomy 32, in verse 1, "Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain, my speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, as the showers upon the grass, because I will publish the name of the Lord." And he goes on for many verses here in chapter 32 to teach them this song. Look at all the way down to verse 44. "And Moses came and spake all the words of this song in the ears of the people, he and Hoshea," which is Joshua, the son of Nun. "And Moses made an end of speaking all these words to all Israel." And then he begins to give them more direction to set their hearts. He has given them a vivid example. Look at chapter 34, just a couple of pages more. Chapter 34, it says in verse 10. And there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. See, to be an example, it takes that relationship with God. It takes that intimate relationship where we walk with God. We can just continue to acknowledge him and walk with him. So as Moses has left this amazing example, he dies, he falls asleep, and then Joshua steps up in his place. Joshua has watched Moses and learned from him, and ultimately Joshua brings them in to the promised land. And let's close in Joshua chapter 24, because Joshua also had learned to be an example, had learned to show people what comes from walking with God. As we put our trust and confidence in God and acknowledge him, he directs our steps. And here at the end of Joshua's life, in chapter 24, verse 15, it says, "And if it seems evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." That was his indelible example that he made. These examples that we have in the Word are what Jesus Christ would have studied. He would have encouraged so many others, as we read the records in the Gospels, to let people see who God is. That was his whole purpose of his life, to declare God, to make him known. And it was by the way that he lived, the way that he spoke, what he spoke, and how he acted, and he drew the attention of what God can provide. And that's what we have the privilege to do. We're told we can walk in his steps. So what a great opportunity we have in this day and time to not be caught up in what the world thinks and what they may even speak about us, but to be more concerned with what we have as we walk with the Father. Thank you.